I'll pray and then we'll look at God's word together. Heavenly Father, we pray please that you'd help us to focus on you in this busy, distracting time of year, that we will be enriched and blessed through what you are doing and what you promise to do in the future. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a poem that I've found I really like. Two little lines I heard one day, travelling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Friends, you are part of God's story, and it's a great story. It's an epic saga from the creation to the new creation of God's rescue plan. It is his great story, and you are part of it. In God's story, he is fixing his broken world. He is fixing all that is wrong with our world, and especially all that is wrong with people. God is building a people who belong to him in his Son. He's rebuilding the world by rebuilding humanity in Christ. And this story that we are part of, it's not ended yet. In fact, it's got a very big ending that is still to come. It's got a grand finale when Jesus returns as the visible true King and Judge of the world. The story comes to its completion. Now, in Matthew 25, Jesus tells three little picture stories, parables of the finale. And that's what we're going to be looking at today and next week, over the next 3 weeks of Advent. You see, before you knew Christ, when you're outside of Christ, you don't have a story, do you? You're not part of a bigger story. If you do have a story, the story is just the story of me and me getting my stuff the way I want it. But the Christian has let go of their own little selfish narrative and entered into God's big story. And it's important that we know how the story ends, where we're headed. Jesus wants us to keep our eyes on the big picture and on the finale. That's why he tells three parables in Matthew 25. And they're all parables about his second coming, about the royal arrival of King Jesus into the world. And it would be kind of tragic or maybe even comical if in our busyness about Christmas, which was a key part of the story, Christmas is when the Son enters the world his first time, it'd be tragic if then we lost sight in our Christmas busyness on the end of the story. If you spoke to a movie buff, for example, like one of the most popular movies of all time is The Shawshank Redemption. Have you seen that film about the man who's unjustly imprisoned for like 40 years and he's trying to escape? You wouldn't be a movie buff if you said, I've watched the first half of that movie 50 times, I love it, and you've never watched the second half to see whether he gets out. You know, you have to know the end of the story. And so today we'll just look at one little parable, Matthew 25. It's very short, actually. It's a picture of a wedding. And he says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins or bridesmaids who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Jesus paints a picture of sort of like, it's an unusual wedding banquet. The bridegroom is some kind of VIP. He is royalty. He is special. And he's away on important business, and he's going to come back at any time. And he's invited these 10 young women to be his bridesmaids and to participate in the joy of the wedding. And I think if you know your Bibles, You know, the Bible often pictures the end of history as a wedding banquet because God describes his relationship with his people as a covenant or as a marriage, or Christ and the church are a marriage. So when history is wrapped up and salvation is complete, there'll be a great wedding banquet between Christ and the church. That's sort of the imagery behind this story. And so, but the way Jesus tells it, you've got these 10 lovely young bridesmaids, and they're waiting for the VIP king type figure to turn up. And so that's all very nice, very exciting. However, Jesus is a little bit playful, and he actually describes that some of them are going to miss out. Five of the young women were foolish, five were wise. Why? Because the foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps, so they've got supplies for their lamps. The idea here is that the foolish bridesmaids show a certain kind of complacency. They're not vigilant. They don't seem as serious as the five wise ones. The five foolish ones should have known better. The master said he could come, you know, it could be a while, it could be any time. So I think Jesus is raising this issue of commitment to him, commitment. Half of the bridesmaids have invested themselves to be committed, to be ready for his return, and the other half are casual about the bridegroom. Anyway, of course, Jesus tells the story, and the bridegroom was a long time in coming, and all 10 fell asleep. And I think that it's picturing the idea that when Jesus returns, it'll be at a surprising time. It'll be at a time no one expects. You know, at one level, we will all be surprised when Jesus returns. But there's the difference between being surprised and being unprepared. And that's, Jesus goes on to describe what happens when the VIP gets there. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here comes the bridegroom, come out to meet him." So I imagine that there's sort of like a town lookout, and he sees off in the distance, kilometres away, the bridegroom with his entourage. And, you know, it's still sort of maybe an hour away, but they can be seen coming. And so, of course, the bridesmaids wake up, turn on your lamps, there's no street lights. How will he recognise you if you don't have a lamp? How will you participate in the banquet if you don't have your formal lamp? And of course the foolish ones say, "We've got no oil." And they ask their girlfriends, they say, "Can you share your oil from your jars?" "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go shopping. Go find a shop at this hour." So you have a picture of the invited, visible kind of church, but only half the church are ready and the other half aren't ready. At the second coming of Jesus, there'll be great surprises. There will be a division. So friends, where will you be on that day? Where will you be when Jesus returns? Will you be one of the ready ones, or will you be one of the unprepared ones? Of course, they do go shopping and they do manage to wake someone up who sells oil. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived into the town, and the virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet as invited. And Jesus adds to the story these pivotal words, "The door was shut." The door was shut to the wedding banquet. Are you ready, friends, for the return of Jesus? Now is the time to be ready. Because when he comes, in a way, it will be too late to get prepared at that point. Are you investing your life now in his story? Are you investing yourself in the fame of Jesus, his kingdom, his glory? Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. It's a very helpful parable, I think, because it describes that salvation is about us. We, the church, enter together into the banquet. It's a corporate image. And yet, it reminds us that we all must be individually ready. That we cannot share our commitment to Christ. We cannot let that cover someone else. You cannot be covered by, you know, you cannot share your oil. You cannot be covered by the faith of your parents or the faith of some godly person in your life. You must have your own personal confident trust in the King. You must be personally invested in order to belong to the group that enters into the banquet. Individual preparedness cannot be transferred. So are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you ready? Nobody likes missing out. I mean, it's awful, isn't it, when you're in a group and some people get invited to a party and you don't get invited. It's a horrible feeling to be excluded. Is there anything worse? Well, here's something worse. To be invited to the wedding or to the special event, but through carelessness, through complacency, get the date wrong and miss out on the joy of what you were supposed to be included in. To be excluded through your own lack of vigilance. The Apostle Paul, in one of his letters, writes about those who do not embrace the gospel wholeheartedly, who do not obey the gospel. And he says, they will be shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among those who believe. So Jesus tells the story. It is a bit of a warning, but it is also a warm invitation, because this wedding banquet is going to be fantastic. You want the doors shut on the wedding banquet. You don't want the party to be disrupted. When we enter into glory with Christ, nothing will threaten our joy again. To be in the wedding banquet is to be eternally safe, eternally in God's love, eternally secure, eternally happy with the King. You want to be shut in on the banquet. J.C. Ryle, that great writer from church history, says about this, "The door shall be shut at last. It will be shut on all pain and sorrow. The door will be shut on an ill-natured and wicked world. The door will be shut on a tempting devil. The door will be shut on all doubts and all fears. Shut to be opened again no more. This is a blessed prospect." And of course, Jesus goes on to describe the foolish bridesmaids. They came, they finally got there, knocking on the door. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." Jesus says, "Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Why should the latecomers be shut out? Why does he say, "I don't know you"? It's because of who the bridegroom is, friends. If the bridegroom is the most important person in the world, then this isn't forgivable. If you neglect the King, the most important person of the world, who deserves your loyalty, who deserves your highest attention, then you do not know him. A lack of readiness is a lack of commitment. And a lack of commitment is a lack of relationship. And therefore Jesus says, "I don't know you. You're not in relationship with me, clearly." So friends, here is some good guidance for you. You may have some difficult decisions coming up in your life. Even today you'll make some choices that may be tricky. Every choice you make, ask yourself, will this decision increase my readiness and orientation toward Jesus, or will this choice distract me from Jesus? That's a very helpful guide for living life wisely, living life well. Will the choices I make today increase my investment in Jesus' return, or will my choices today lull me away from honouring him in all that I do? Friends, being a Christian is more than just like having a kind of insurance card in your back pocket that most of the time you forget about, that somehow one day you're going to play this card and get you through. You know, get on with living your own private, selfish story and one day play this card. It doesn't work like that. It just doesn't work like that. We must enter our story into God's story. We must live for the King, and that means a life of vigilant, awake, aware, alert, service and trust. Friends, the bridegroom is coming. And the message from Jesus today, this Advent, is you do not know the day, you do not know the hour, so be vigilant, be watchful, be ready. The King who laid down his life for you is coming back. He's the most important person in the universe. The bridegroom is on his way. Be committed, be ready, be confident. Don't be shut out. Let's pray. O let my love with fervour burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one, now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past, only what's done for Christ will last. Amen.